This episode of SGHL Insider is presented by our friends at SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, if you do go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
Welcome to an all-new episode of SGHL Insider on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. We appreciate you, whether you're watching on the YouTubes or you're listening, we appreciate you tuning in. Obviously, lots to chat about today because yesterday was the SGHL, CJHL trade deadline, so lots to get into. The week has already started when it comes to action. And before we get into all that, of course, we have to thank our sponsors here at the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League and obviously SGHL Insider, SGHL Weekly. Of course, our presenting sponsor is UPL. Shout out to UPL for sponsoring all of our great shows. Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Chevrolet, Great Western, Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGU, SGI. Thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows would not be possible. And because there were so many trades yesterday and really over the course of the last 3 days, no guests this week because we have a lot to just kind of dissect when it comes to the amount of trades. So let's bring in Clark. Hi, Clark.
Hey, guys. How, or Jeremy specifically and viewers and listeners. How's everybody doing?
Well,
Jeremy
specifically. So before we start, I want to go on air and I'm going to throw you under the bus.
Toss away.
Because last week on SGHL Insider, for all of our loyal viewers, listeners, you kept talking about how the weather was so great.
Oh, this is my fault.
And literally, the very next day,
yeah,
we get snow, the roads are awful, and now it's freezing cold. What do you have to say for yourself?
Just want to issue a formal apology to the folks around the province of mm-hmm. Saskatchewan and, mm-hmm. and northwestern Manitoba, mm-hmm. Specifically, mm-hmm. but just in general, mm-hmm. For causing this terrible weather. Mm-hmm. I will take full, not credit, because
blame.
A good thing.
You
I'll take
blame.
Full blame. And yep. my actions are good. Irresponsible mm-hmm. and unforgivable, and I don't know how I'll ever pay you guys back.
Well, do you know what? At least that was a good apology.
Yeah.
That was a good apology.
I've been working on it.
It's because you didn't knock on wood. You know, when you say that you didn't. Last week, you didn't. It's all good. I digress, but I needed to bring that up.
I hope it's short-lived.
Because I was thinking about it mm-hmm. when we were driving, when I was personally driving on Friday, the very next day, to the SGHL Game of the Month in Weyburn.
Yes.
I thought about that because I'm like, wow, this weather's awful. Thanks, Clark.
Yep. You're welcome, I guess, in a bad
Anyways.
Way. Anyways. Yeah.
I just wanted to get that out of the way. Start the episode off on such a great note.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, let's. We got lots to talk about. So you can you know what time it is.
You know what time it is. It's time.
You can do your thing.
Time for the hat trick.
Yes, those are hats.
You know, Jer, we neither of us ever wear a hat on this program.
Yeah, because it's called being a professional.
It's true. There is a lot to get to, let's get a few things out of the way, and then we'll dive into the deep stuff.
Yeah, I guess you're hosting now. Go ahead.
No, let's take a look at the last couple days of scores.
Okay, yeah, sure, go ahead. You're the host now, apparently.
No. Go ahead, Jer. I was throwing it to you to take over.
Oh, you did a bad job of that. All right, Tuesday, 3 games on the schedule. The Melville Millionaires, what a comeback win over the Weyburn Red Wings on Tuesday. They were down 4-2 in this hockey game. End up winning 6-4. They get the go-ahead goal with, I think it was 25 seconds left, and then they get the empty netter. So big 2 points in regulation against Weber. Big win for Humboldt, 5-1 over Yorkton, and then LaRange kicking off their 4-game and 5-night trip down in southern Saskatchewan with a 4-1 win. And then last night on trade deadline day, just the one game, the Estevan Bruins snap a 4-game losing skid with a 3-1 win at home. Ilya Chmielewski with a big couple of goals in the third period to make it 3-1 for Estevan. And of course, all of our look backs this season are presented by our good friends at Sask Lotteries. I mean, we've talked about it. We'll get it obviously in the next topic of the hat trick, as we always do. We'll talk about the standings, but don't pull it up just yet. But obviously, with with Melville's regulation win going all the way back to Saturday against Weyburn, Then on Tuesday, that comeback win over Weyburn. And then Estevan's win last night. You have three teams tied at the top of the Viterra Division standings, all with 30 points. And I feel like we talk about it every week, but I don't know what to say really anymore about this Viterra Division. It's crazy.
It's like the hottest headline. We talk about it every week for a reason.
I don't know about hottest headline.
In terms of the standings and stuff, we talk about it every week for a reason because it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Nobody wants to, you know, grab the ball and run with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we're going to see, you know, all four of those teams now have somewhere between.
And Yorkton's only 4 points back. Yeah, we should mention. I mean,
somewhere
only
between
21
and 24, five games left between those teams. And, you know, like there's still a ways to go. There's still upwards of, 45 to 50 points available to these teams. So, like, there's still shifting that can happen. Mm-hmm. But, man, it is just one of those situations where every week you have another look at it and it's like, oh, they're still battling. All four
That's
of them.
Right.
They're still battling.
And I just would have thought by now, especially, you would have seen maybe at least see one of the teams maybe get 4 points ahead of the other teams.
Yeah.
But it seems like the most you're ever seeing with these teams is maybe 2 points ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 points. And then they play each other and the other team wins and they're right back even. And it's just been a battle all year long with that one. And now you see some of the other teams around them in other divisions as well, just kind of joining that group as well, and it's just becoming quite the battle there in the bottom half of the standings.
All right, well, let's just pull up the standings and move into the second point of the hat.
Sure.
Because that was a good segue into it. And as you can see, with that win by Estevan last night, 6, 7, 8, 9, all 30 points. Now, again, kind of something you mentioned there is all those teams have played a different amount of games, and that's as a result. That's why you see the teams in that order. Melville, obviously, they played the least amount of games out of all those teams, just 30. Weyburn, 31. Estevan, 32. And Kindersley, now out of a playoff spot right now with 34 games played. But it's interesting how, you know, obviously the couple of games will change how the standings look. But a little bit of separation by the Nipawin Hawks to kind of separate themselves from that pack. But as we'll talk about it in the next segment with the trade deadline and everything, it's now there's also, you know, the top of the standings too. Let's talk about 2, 3, and 4. I mean, only separated by 2 points, and all three teams just continue to win hockey games.
Yeah, and all three teams, and we'll talk about this in a sec too, all three teams decided to bolster, and as they should, but over the last several weeks, I'm not going to say in the last couple of days because we'll talk about that about Melfort, but in the last several weeks, they all decided, hey, we got the roster that can do this. We can compete with all these other teams. We got to bolster. We got to add. We got to fill a hole here and there, and we saw all three of those teams do that, and you know, some a little bit more than others, but they're all playing such exciting brands of hockey. They all have their own style. They all have their own ways to win games, and it's just exciting to see how those teams think, you know what, we can compete with Flin Flon this year. We can be with those guys. We can skate with them. And, you know, Melfort's beat them, is it twice? And they've beat them twice. So, like, they're all in that group. And you know, the separation between one and that group of three now, it doesn't even look all that daunting as much as it did maybe a few weeks ago.
I don't think it's ever been that daunting,
yeah,
to be honest with you, compared to last year when we saw the Balfour's North Stars so far as far ahead.
Right, double
they
digits.
They were always double digits at least ahead. It has never, to me, been that daunting. I still think it's an extremely tall task for any of those teams to potentially catch Flin Flon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. It's not as...
Yeah.
It doesn't jump off the page. I just think it's the other thing, and we talked about it briefly on SJHL Weekly, was I think what we should recognize too is how it's not too often you see on Monday morning in the CJHL top 20 rankings, a league have four teams in the rankings. Obviously, like how it was this past Monday, and you can read the article on SJHL.ca, but three teams were in the top 20 rankings. Flin Flon was obviously number one, and then Battleford's and Humboldt were in there, and then Melfort was an honorable mention.
Right.
It's not very often, and that just speaks to how good of seasons these four teams are having. The other thing I want to just mention before we get back Before we move on to all the madness of the last 72 hours when it comes to the trade deadline, if we could pull up back up the standings just quickly, is, and we'll get to it too in the preview in the weekend, but the LaRange Ice Wolves are still hanging around. Mm-hmm. They're still hanging around, and I want to make a mention of that. Like, LaRange and Yorkton both hanging around, and they're still within striking distance of playoff spots. With how the standings are, from 6 to 11, only separated by 5, I mean, if LaRange goes out Friday and Saturday, and they get regulation wins over Weyburn and Estevan,
yeah,
you're only 1 point back of both of those teams.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. I will say, by then, you've also played way more games.
Yeah.
They are right now, the LaRange Ice Wolves are tied for playing the most amount of games in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, and that will remain the same after this coming weekend, because after this weekend they will have played 38 games. But that just speaks again to the we've talked about it all year long, is the parity of the SJHL, and the fact that you're seeing, you know, from 6 to 11 only separated by 5 points. Like, if I'm Yorkton and LaRange, like, You still have faith to potentially make the postseason. You just got to, you know, have a couple of good weeks.
Yeah, and I think that was a big reason why we saw so few interleague trades. We saw a lot of interleague trades, yeah, between SJHL teams and out-of-province teams.
Sure.
But we didn't see very many teams trying to give other teams around them or above them any of their own players. They didn't want to give any advantages or any good players within the league. Mm-hmm. And you also saw, again, with the exception of Melfort, just because they haven't made a recent move, but they have made moves this year. You saw all 12 teams make moves, and some at most adding. They pretty much all added. Notre Dame added a goalie. You saw LaRange move guys around and get a little bit younger, but also add players to their roster. So like a lot of those teams, there weren't any teams just getting rid of players for the sake of it. There was a lot of teams trying to make their teams better in an effort to get in the playoff position. And it was an exciting trade deadline this year, for sure.
Yeah, exciting is one word for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know we talked about it on Monday. I don't think we expected as much movement as there was. And I think when all was said and done, yesterday alone was, I think there was 18 trades. So there's quite a bit. There's quite a bit involving SJHL teams. So that obviously is the third topic and really the focus of SJHL Insider this week, as we did last year. We're kind of going to dissect the trade deadline. Because there was so much, we are not going to rattle through every single trade. I would rather focus on the trades that show players coming into the SJHL.
Yes.
And not just the ones. And I'm sure we'll mention a couple that are obviously with players involved in going out. But rather than just focus on the trade deadline itself yesterday, I'd also want to go back to the last 3 days, mm-hmm, following SJHL weekly. Because there has been, even on the 8th and the 9th, there was significant movement in the SJHL, and when it comes to rosters and everything. So let's start. We'll start there. And what we'll do is I'll rattle off some. Let's talk about the 8th and the 9th first, and then we'll get into the 10th. So on Tuesday, you talked about not many interleague trades. Well, here's one.
Here's one.
The Estevan Bruins traded Eric Kale and defenseman Jesse Ivanovich to the LaRange Ice Wolves for 19-year-old forward Rain Hodge and a PDF. So for the Estevan Bruins, they get a 19-year-old forward. And for the LaRange Ice Wolves, a little bit of a tweak. They might have their goalie of the future in Eric Kale. And they also get a good young defenseman in Jesse Ivanovich. Then on the 9th, we had 5 trades total. The big one that stands out for a lot of people, I know you and I had talked about it in the office, was the Kindersley Clippers trading Keenan Ingram to the Fort McMurray Oil Barons of the AJHL. However, with that being said, I do think they get something they needed, and that was a veteran defenseman. They get 20-year-old Simon Diaz, as well as future considerations in that trade. A couple of other moves just to mention on the 9th. The Weyburn Red Wings acquiring the rights to Matthew Hodgson from the Melville Millionaires for a PDF, and some players that were traded out. Melville sending Felix Beauchemin to the CCHL, and Notre Dame moving Cypress Smith-Davis to the Grand Prairie Storm of the AJHL. But A couple of big moves in there. What was your thought? We'll start with that, the Hodge trade. What did you think of it?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously with Estevan, we just talked about it. They're in that battle for that last few playoff spots. Mm-hmm. You know, in the bottom half of the playoff race right now. But they got, I'm going to say, dealt a blow with Turner McMillan going back to the WHL as a 20-year-old forward.
Right.
And I think with Estevan, they're trying to find that group that they can go forward with and be confident with. And Rane Hodge is having a nice season for LaRange. He was usually in their top six most nights, if not every night, having a nice season up there. And I think just to add him, to add a little bit more stability after losing a Turner McMillan, mm-hmm. I think that was, I'm guessing that was the main strategy behind that move. And just he's a 19-year-old. He'll be back next year. He'll be an important piece, I should say, for them next year as well. And, you know, a nice little addition, and I think he'll fit in that roster pretty well.
Well, the big thing, I think, too, for Estevan is when it comes to goal scoring this year, they're third last in goals for mm-hmm. With 102. The only teams that have scored less are the Melville Millionaires and the Notre Dame Hounds. So you could kind of tell, and we'll get into, obviously, the moves on January 10th, that, you know, looking for moves to try and spark their offense. Like you mentioned, losing Turner McMillan, that is a huge blow. And when Turner was in the lineup for the Bruins, they did look like a completely different team than when he was not in the lineup, because he's a very good hockey player.
Very good hockey player.
But now he's getting a chance in the Western League, where he obviously spent many years. And then the other one, quickly, just... I know you right away when I got into the office yesterday. You had mentioned to me about you were completely shocked about the Ingram trade, and I kind of talked you down a little
bit. Did.
But I guess now that you've had a day to kind of think about it, now what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think the key word that you mentioned when you were talking about the trade is veteran defenseman.
Yes.
And you know, Kindersley, if you pull up the stats with Kindersley. They're a minus 24. They've let in 135 goals this year. They're scoring decently well, 111 goals. You know, they're in the middle of the pack in terms of goals for. But my first impression before really diving into it was, wow, Keenan Ingram was having a breakout season. He was in Rookie of the Week several times. I think he was Rookie of the Month once or maybe twice, I think. But he was in the conversation all the time for that rookie conversation very often. And my first impression was, oh my gosh, they're trading one of their you know, top, that line. We talked about it several times of
Hillbig,
Linklater, and Ingram was one of the more productive and better lines in the league. So first impression was, oh my gosh. But then you came in and you said, Clark, but look what they got back. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. 20-year-old defenseman with a lot of experience in junior hockey. And I think Simon Diaz is going to be filling a good need and he'll be a good fit on that roster. And I'll be curious to see how they slot him in and who he plays with, but that'll come with time. And he's probably going to play with a couple guys and figure it out. But you're right. They did need some veteran leadership back there. So I think that's a nice move by Clayton Jardine and company.
Yeah, I just thought when you looked at the Clippers blue line ahead of the trade deadline, like yes, they had a handful of returning defensemen, which is always great. Still very young.
Yeah,
still very young. So to bring in a 20-year-old to just add some veteran leadership, lots of junior A experience, I think that's going to be a big boost for them, and it was something you need. And to get something valuable that you need, you know, a 20-year-old defenseman with lots of experience, you know, usually you're gonna have to pay a pretty high price for it. And you know, the Clippers did. But with that being said, what I am curious about moving forward, and we'll see what their lineup looks like on Friday, who is going to slot in now on the wing mm-hmm. with Tylan Hillbig and Logan Linklater, because obviously that line was so big for them. Logan Linklater, 12 goals, 27 assists on the season. Tylan Hillbig, 19 goals, 15 assists on the season for 34 points. You know, honestly, you could probably slot somebody in there and they could have all of a sudden find a lot of success on that line, because you're playing with two very good players. So it'll be interesting in that regard. Moving forward.
Yeah, and I think we'll get to this because it's a January 10th move, but there might be somebody that came in on January 10th that could slot into that spot. Who
exactly.
knows? We'll talk about that in a sec.
Okay, so let's move in and talk about the January 10th trades. I wrote down pretty much, I mean, there was a lot, obviously. If you go to sjhl.ca, you can see the entire list. But I wrote down a bunch of the ones that stood out for me, at least. And the ones that I mentioned, focus on when it comes to teams adding. Players coming into the league, not so much the players coming out. I'll read through them. And then we'll just kind of go through it.
Yeah.
So first, the Weyburn Red Wings acquired Sam Callahan from Fort Mac for PDF. Melville received Liam Rodman and a PDF from Fort McMurray for 20-year-old forward Liam Cox-Smith. Nipwin acquiring Dallin Picacoot from the LaRange Ice Wolves for a PDF. This isn't a trade. I did write it down to make a mention it. Nipwin did get Trey Fouquet back from the Western Hockey League, 19-year-old defenseman. That's like a trade. Mm-hmm. You're getting a 19-year-old defenseman with WHL experience back. And I want to get into Nipwin a bit once we read off the trades. Flynn Flon acquired Tyson Smith from the Selkirk Steelers for a PDF. Weyburn acquired Simon Martin, prospect from the Humboldt Broncos for a PDF. The Estevan Bruins acquired Alex Pappaspyropoulos.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Good job.
19-year-old forward from Toronto.
Didn't even hesitate.
I may or may have not practiced it quite a bit because I'm going to have to get used to
Unbelievable
it.
Unbelievable name.
It is a great
name. The Sarah Gellas and Estevan are going to love that kid.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Big time.
Get the sponsorship ready already.
Get the jersey on the back of the jersey is going to be, yeah.
Also, anyways. As we continue, if any of these players are watching, I apologize in advance if I mispronounce your name because we haven't heard your names in a broadcast yet. Humboldt acquired defenseman Oakley Micklewain from the Grand Prairie Storm, 18-year-old defenseman for 18-year-old forward Spencer Hughes. Here's the trade that Clark was alluding to. The Kindersley Clippers acquiring 20-year-old forward Brock Mueller from the Flin Flon Bombers for a third-round pick in the 2024 SJHL Draft and a PDF. The Flin Flon Bombers acquiring 19-year-old forward Keith Gruner from the Fort McMurray Oil Barons for a PDF. Here was a fun one. This trade really actually stood out to me. The Balfour's North Stars acquiring 19-year-old forward Elijah Anderson from the Weyburn Red Wings for the rights to 19-year-old goaltender Justin Merrick, a PDF, as well as futures. The Melville Millionaires acquired Brandon Panzer, plus a PDF, from Niverville of... Is it Niverville or Niverville?
I'm going to go with Niverville.
I always mess that one up.
Yeah.
From the MJHL for Jace Konechny. The Flin Flon... Here's another big one. The Flin Flon Bombers acquired 20-year-old defenseman Anthony Bax and futures from the Dauphin Kings of the MJHL for Ashton Paul, 19-year-old forward, who, of course, the Flin Flon Bombers acquired earlier on in the season from the OCN Blizzard. And then the final one I have down is the Melville Millionaires acquiring a pair of American forwards from the Grand Prairie Storm in Elliot Mikesh and Gabrick Carlson.
Great name.
Which one?
Gabrick Carlson.
Oh, okay.
That's a great name. It's a great hockey name.
From the Grand Prairie Storm.
Wonder who his parents' favorite hockey player was in the early mid-2000s.
Marion Gabrick.
Yeah.
For futures and a PDF. Again, all the trades can be found at sjhl.ca with the last 3 days. Those are the ones that stood out to me, at least when it comes to player acquisitions. Another thing I want to point out, two before we just dissect it all. I did see on social media yesterday somebody, I think I had posted actually the final list on the website. Somebody commented saying, oh, you're missing a few trades. So sometimes teams will say it was a trade and it was actually just a signing.
Yeah, acquisition.
It's an acquisition.
You know, yeah.
So those ones won't actually be on the list because technically they weren't actually trades, but the teams might just say they were trades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you ever see that, that's partially why. I just want to explain that. Anyways, I just noticed
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And there was like a couple guys who got sent down from WHL teams, and there was a couple guys who got signed out of other leagues that weren't on rosters,
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all sorts of movement going on. But
okay. So Gosh, where to start? Where would you like to start? Just pick a pick a team.
Why don't we go with Flin Flon?
We have to start with Flin Flon.
Because actually, A, I think they were the most active.
They were the most active.
And B, they're at the top of the standing. So let's just start there and go down.
So were you surprised that they made as many moves as they did?
No, and I think you
weren't.
No, I wasn't surprised that they made this many moves because you said it to me. We were talking about it, and this is such a good year for the, what's that?
You're gonna blame it on me?
No. But I agree with you because you nailed it. It's just this is such a good year for them to just go for it. And you know that Coach Mike Reagan has such a good pulse on not just the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League,
absolutely,
all of the leagues.
Absolutely.
He knows how good his team is.
100%.
He knows how good everybody else is, and he knows what holes he has to fill in order to win at the next level. And I'm talking Centennial Cup. I'm not talking just playoffs, but playoffs as well.
Yeah, we've talked about it time and time again, though. Like, for you to win the SJHL is a little bit different than winning a Centennial Cup.
100%. And it's one of those situations, I think, for Coach Reagan and everyone involved with the Blue Bombers. That's bad. With the Flin Flon Bombers. They have been to that level several times. They haven't quite gotten over that hump of winning the championship that they want to win.
Sure.
They know what it takes. Mike knows what it takes. And he went out and got what he needed or felt that he needed. And boy, did he. We were talking about it this morning in the office.
What I'm really excited for is to see what this lineup looks like with when everyone's in Flin Flon.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious how it's all going to pan out for them. Just running through, let's start with Tyson Smith.
Sure.
Getting him from the Selkirk Steelers. Playing this year in the NHL, but last year with Selkirk, what do you have? 13 goals and 57 assists. He was above a
70,
point per game.
70 points.
He had 70 points. Yeah, that's what 13 plus 57 is.
Yeah.
70 points last year in the MJHL.
Nailed it.
Over a point per game, just getting a huge offensive weapon and somebody that can obviously do a good job of, you know, getting the puck to your scorers.
Oh, and you know, your big thing was who's he going to play with, and you know, there's the best thing about this, options.
Oh, lots options. Of options.
He can play with a bunch of guys, but if you put him on a line with a Carter Anderson, who's been lighting the lamp, and Justin Lees, who has been lighting the lamp, and you put
a
playmaker with those two guys, like what Tyson Smith was able to do with Selkirk. Let's go. And I mean, that's just an option. Yep. That's not even what they're going to do necessarily.
No, that's just us, you know.
It's just spitballing.
That's the thing. There's a lot of players you could probably just throw names into a hat and throw some lines together and probably see a bunch of success for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked, we didn't even mention it, but it was because it just came down the pipe right at the tail end of SJHL Weekly on Monday.
Right.
I'm just going to quickly get it up.
Yep.
The Bombers acquiring Jerome Gilbert from the Yarmouth Mariners of the MHL. There we go. I want to throw an A in there for some reason.
Mm.
And last year, as an 18-year-old, he was above a point per game. Obviously, he went Yarmouth, won the MHL, went to the Centennial Cup. They made the quarterfinals. He has, obviously, Centennial Cup experience. And this year, he's already above a point per game player as a 19-year-old forward. You know, another great addition, and he's 19. And, like, we talked about it last year. Remember with Flin Flon, one thing we always complimented them on was, boy, their blue line. All that Centennial Cup experience.
Yeah.
And I think to get a guy who, like Jerome, to come in and have Centennial Cup experience and is going to be a huge addition, not just offensively, but just having that experience.
Yeah, I mean, and you're thinking of a guy who
knows how to win a championship.
Knows how to win, has been there, like you said, put up a ton of points last year as an 18-year-old, which is not easy to do in any junior league across the country. That is going to now be, I mean, again, options here, but a bottom six forward for them. Hypothetically, again, he could end up in the
top
six.
I don't even know if there is a bottom six with them anymore.
Right?
I think it's just 12 grade
forwards. Yeah,
12 forwards, and they're all and even
top 12,
and even their even the forwards that probably won't, that'll be scratches.
Yeah,
all very good. Like this is a very impressive forward group.
Very deep.
Mike and Cole have assembled.
They're built to weather some storms now. They weren't, not that they weren't before, but they're built to weather some storms if there's injuries or anything like that.
Good point.
You know, they are, like I said, Mike Reagan has been there. He's done that. Mm-hmm. He wants to do more, and he knows what he needs and knows what he needed, and I think he did a great job.
And another thing, I mean, adding leadership. Keith Bruner.
We haven't even talked about him.
19-year-old forward was the captain of Fort McMurray this year. Anthony Bax from Dauphin, 20-year-old defenseman. He was an assistant captain with the Dauphin Kings. He's a big defenseman, 6'2", above a point per game. It's almost like, it was funny yesterday just watching the trades kind of come in, and it was like, okay, they got to be done, right? Oh, there's another
one more.
Oh, there's another one
more.
I mean, it's hard not to look at what they've done and be very impressed.
Well, we talked about their blue line as well, and now they have, you look at their 1-6, and at 7, and there's 3, maybe even 4 guys who could be considered top pair D-men across the league on other teams, and it's one of those situations again where you have put yourself in a position where no matter who's on the ice, it's going to be hard to get an inch of space, and that's just the way that they've built their team, and that's the way that they've made their additions, and they've done a really nice job of filling what they need, and great job by everybody there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if
on paper, on paper,
of course. But we'll see. You know what? We'll see tomorrow if all those players are in the lineup, if all those players are suiting up, because tomorrow's game for Flin Flon's their only game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a case where they're just like, yeah, take your time, guys, and then get in. But we'll see. Flin Flon out of all the teams were the most active for sure. Another team I kind of want to talk about, and I was texting you about yesterday, is a team that wasn't as active, but they've been slowly active throughout the season. And it's just, slowly getting better and better and better, to me, is the Nipawin Hawks. And yesterday they added Dallin Pikakut, who, of course, was on L'Orange last year, has WHL experience, wasn't playing this season, to my knowledge, but wants to get back into the swing of things. Nipawin's getting a 19-year-old forward, again, with WHL experience, to potentially come in, add to their depth, potentially play a bottom six role, middle six role. And then they also get, of course, as I mentioned, they get Trey Fouquet back from the WHL. And, I remember at the beginning of the year, we talked about, wow, like look at Nipawin and look at all those weapons on that team. Look at all those weapons up front. Well, their concern was, look at the blue line. The blue line, it's very young. It's very young for the Nipawin Hawks. But then you look at the job that their organization did when it comes to, adding to their blue line. First you went out and got 20-year-old defenseman Luke Chase, big body. He's been playing with Ronan Buckberger, and Ronan's been so good this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be up for, consideration for Direct West Rookie of the Year for sure. But then you look at, obviously, before the holiday break and before the holiday trade freeze, you go out and get Liam McInnes from the L'Orange Ice Wolves. You get the L'Orange Ice Wolves captain. Okay, that's another 20-year-old defenseman you get onto your blue line. And then now you get Trey Fouquet back, a guy with WHL experience, a 19-year-old defenseman. That's a very impressive top four. And then you have in your not even your bottom pairing, because I'm sure they'll throw some veterans with some of the younger defensemen. You get a guy like Landon Pappas. And then Vito Biondo the third.
Yeah, the best name in the league.
And arguably the best name in the league. Well,
outside of Papas Baropoulos.
You're close.
I wasn't looking at it. I just said it.
But now you quietly have a very good blue line.
Yeah.
That Tad and company have done a really good job of, slowly kind of just chipping away at. And I saw our friend Nugsy tweeted out yesterday. This, to me, and I agree with him, obviously, those top four teams, they're kind of set.
Yeah.
I doubt anyone's going to catch him. But I'll say this. I don't know if I want to play the Nipawin Hawks in the first round of the playoffs.
No.
That's a very good roster.
They've done a very good job. And again, you talk about addressing needs and everything, mm-hmm. and you nailed it. I mean, their blue line, I wouldn't say it was like a dire concern at the beginning of the season, but it was definitely something that maybe stood out a little
bit.
It was a young group.
They were young.
And it, you know, they still are in a way. They still have some very young players on that blue line, but they're very good players. Mm-hmm. And you supplement those guys with, like you said, the three additions that they've now made. Half of a blue line group has now been added over the course of the season, and they've done a really nice job of filling that out, and they're going to be very hard to match up against, regardless of who they're playing. Whether it's right now, I think it's Humboldt at the very moment in time, but no matter who they come up against in the playoffs, I think they have a really good matchup now with anybody.
Well, and they've played Humboldt well this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've played Battleford well this year. They've played Melfort well this year.
Yeah.
So whatever series.
However,
you know,
that
we don't want to jump the gun.
Yeah.
Obviously, because right now, actually, you know, Nipawin's only 4 points up on the playoff spot because of that five through whatever stretch.
Yeah.
But with the way their roster is right now, it's you know, they've done a very good job of building their roster. Is there another team? Because I just threw out Nipawin.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another team that you wanna kind of dive into next?
I didn't mind at all what Battleford's did. I think they made a couple of shifts. They moved a couple guys out, but they also brought in a couple of guys like Elijah Anderson. We talked about him a little bit, mm-hmm. just because you mentioned the trade. But they also added via, like we talked about earlier, not necessarily all trades. They were able to bring in some guys in other ways, such as Trayson, is it Wootini? Wootini?
Mm-hmm.
From the WHL, who's a local kid.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of upside.
Very.
06, so he's young. And he's going to fit right into that roster, I think, really nicely. And they'll be able to play around with him a little bit in terms of where he plays.
Well, and that's why you saw, and you'll see it if you go to SJHL.ca and you look at the full transaction page. That's why you'll see, I think, because they got him back from the Edmonton Oil Kings, it kind of resulted in the Stars moving a few players out so mm-hmm. that they could have that balance and, of course, give everybody the ice time that they deserve. But, yeah, I think that's a really good move by Braden Klimosko and company to add Elijah Anderson, a guy that, you know, last year, in his first year in the SJHL, 11 goals, 11 assists, 22 points in 36 games. And then this year he's almost a point per game player. He's got 21 points in 24 games. I was looking at actually the Stars roster prior to the show and just their roster from their last game, and I was actually kind of curious, and I'm curious to see where they slot Elijah Anderson into their lineup. And the other thing I do like about the move too is, again, it's a 19-year-old coming in and potentially a player that can come back next year for the North Stars.
But yeah, learn the North Stars way and then come back and do it all over again next
year. Yeah, I think that's a really good depth piece, I think, for the North Stars. I think they were set when it came to their blue line
mm-hmm.
Between, you know, obviously the veteran defenseman that they have coming back from last year's championship team and obviously the great young defenseman that they have.
They do have several.
But I think adding a good depth piece like Elijah Anderson to that team, you know, that's a great move by the North Stars. And obviously we mentioned, like, they're Battleford, Melfort, and Humboldt. They're battling for, you know, in 2, 3, and 4, only separated by 2 points. And that's going to be a battle all the way, pardon the pun, all the way until the end of the season.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, with Battleford's is they've been a team that's kind of been tinkering a little bit throughout the season because of their goaltending situation.
Well,
so they've had a couple of moves in that regard as well.
Well, I think they've been tinkering, too, because of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, you can ask Braden Klimosko and Gary Childerhouse, you know, I don't know if they expected Kian Bell maybe back as soon as he came back. And, of course, Justin Merrick came back.
Yep.
Now he's gone
again.
And he was part of this trade and everything like that. But,
yeah
I thought that was a really fun stat, actually, about shout out to Rory for that stat from Monday about how three goalies – the North Stars have started 5 goalies this year, and 3 of them in their first game with the North Stars got shutouts.
Yeah,
that's an unreal stat. But I also I like that move by Battleford's as well. I know you, not on the trade front from yesterday, but I know you mentioned earlier you probably want to talk a little bit about Melford and all the moves they made. I mean, Melford, they made their moves early.
Yeah.
I mean, their big swing was Clay Sliva coming in, you know, right before the trade freeze. You know, we saw a couple captains traded here at the SJHL, you know, before the SJHL trade deadline. And, I mean, again, I said it on Monday. I think even prior to that, them beating the Flin Flon Bombers last weekend, they had all the confidence in the world that they could compete with Flin Flon.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out and shut up and blank them 3-0. But they knew they could compete with them. They go out, they add Clay Sliva, they add to their depth, they get Ty Evans back. You know, the thing I'm really waiting for, and I think Rory said it on Monday, and I agree 100% with him, is I want to see this Melford Mustangs team healthy.
Yeah, full roster, please.
I want to see this team healthy because when this team's healthy, you know, they have just, you know, they have a very good forward group as well.
Yeah.
But the question will be when? When will that happen? Because injuries happen all the time.
Yeah, and like you see guys throughout their lineup, Brian Duguay's only played 23 games this year. Zach Summers only played 23 games this year. Mm-hmm. David Rieu's only played 19 games this year. Like so those are some key guys, and they've only played, you know, 2/3 of the games so far or so.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at this, you know, obviously one of the things that stands out, and I kind of mentioned it earlier in the show, but Melford didn't make a move on deadline day.
Yeah, specifically.
They haven't made a move in January, but like you said, they've made moves throughout the year, and getting Ty Evans back at the time that they did.
But that's like a trade deadline.
Exactly. Right?
With Trey Fouquet going to Nippon.
Exactly. And it probably saved them from needing to make a move because they got this great player back for free. So you look at Melfort, they have one of the best goaltenders in the league, James Venn.
Yep.
He's constantly up for goalie of the week conversations. They have a very good blue line. They have all year. They had that at the beginning of the year. They've had that from day one. And they have a deep forward group. And then we talked about Clay Sliva and Ty Evans. They added those two players to an already solid forward group, again, when healthy. So maybe the question shouldn't be why didn't Melfort make a move, but did Melfort even need to make a move? They've already done their stuff, and they have a very solid roster top to bottom. So maybe, you know, this is the year Trevor Blevin said, I'm feeling really confident. I'm satisfied.
Well, we've never been in the position. But, you know, every general manager is going to have a different mindset too, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure some GMs want to get their business done early,
mm-hmm.
want to get it done as soon as possible. Some are okay with, you know, tinkering and making some last minute changes. But I think going back to the Sliva trade, I really liked the timing of the trade.
Yeah.
Because you get, you know, Clay acclimated to, you know, being in Mel for a couple of weeks, then he can go back for the holiday break and kind of reset.
Yeah.
And then now it's almost like a start of a new season for him,
sure.
Especially going to a new team after being with Yorkton for 2.5 years. But yeah, no, I agree.
Like, great interview, by the way.
It was a great interview.
Yes,
and
go check it.
I think, yeah, I agree with you. Is, you know, sometimes you don't need to make a move at the trade deadline. I mean, I think that's what is kind of intriguing. What I think I said to you this morning is, you know, this time last year, there was also an SJHL team at the top of the CJHL top 20 rankings, that being the Balfour's North Stars. They made one trade all year last year,
mm-hmm.
and that was Alex Isaac.
Right.
And, you know, this year, obviously, Flin Flon's at the top of the mountain. In the CJHL top 20 rankings, and obviously they added and they bolstered their lineup even more. So it's just two different, obviously, strategies and everything like that, but it's exciting to see for sure. And then obviously Humboldt made a couple of moves as well. They did their business, I think their bigger business earlier on,
mm-hmm.
As well. But the one trade that they made, obviously, on deadline day was getting a young defenseman, Oakley McIlwain, from Grand Prairie. Lose a young forward, but again, sometimes to get something good, you got to give up something good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Scott Barney, again, you know, he added to his depth in his lineup earlier on in the week when it came to, you know, making moves. And their team, again, They're also an interesting team just because of they are a young team.
Yeah,
they're a young team. That's what's kind of exciting for them too. Is when you look at the Humboldt Broncos and you look at their team and how young they are, it's like, well, you know, they're competing and doing well this year. But yeah, you look at them and it's like, wow, they might be very good next year too.
Yeah,
but like they acquired Jacob Strizzi from the North York Rangers. Like that's a player that, I do believe he played on Tuesday for the Broncos. But that's a player that has lots of offensive abilities and now adds more depth to their lineup. And, you know, you just look at those top four teams. And to me, those top four teams, all four of them got better. In the last week.
Definitely agree, yeah. They all saw a couple of things they needed to do and added here and there. Like you said, Melford did that earlier on than the other three. But that's one thing that good teams always... The benefit of having a team as good as those four teams is that you have a little bit better idea of what you need. And if you can just get little tinkers sometimes or little tweaks, sometimes that makes even more of an impact than a massive blockbuster trade. Yeah. Keeping the group together, but just adding a complementary piece is sometimes better than needing to be in a position where you have to shift a bunch of things.
Yep.
So that's kind of the way I look at those.
And
those
yes, Jacob Strizzi played his first game with the Humble Broncos on Tuesday, playing on a line with Matthew Van Blaricombe.
Decent.
Who, fun fact, very good hockey player.
Fun fact. Little known fun fact.
Very good hockey player. Yeah. When it comes, you know, it's funny with trade deadlines. Obviously, there was a lot of moves. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know exactly what all these players are like or anything like that. Because, quite frankly, we don't. I mean, when there's over 100 teams across the CGHL and there's, you know, then times that by X amount of players, right?
Yeah, some WHL kids coming back.
I'm not going to pretend like we know everything about every player.
Yeah.
But I'll ask you this, because I'm not going to say there's, you know, winners. Everyone always likes to say with trade deadlines, oh, is there winners and there's losers. I don't think there's, I'm not going to say there's any losers because, quite frankly, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Losers is always a hindsight type of thing.
Absolutely.
And losers is also
usually
a harsh term.
And usually anytime there's a trade deadline and people say, oh, this team lost the trade deadline, it's because they didn't make a move.
Sure.
Anyways, but I don't think there is any. And I'm of the belief that I don't think there is any losers. But what I will say, I want to ask you this. Who do you think, I think we can we both agree, obviously, we think Flynn Flon's a winner at the
you
trade deadline
have
because,
to think,
because
yeah.
of everything they did?
On
okay.
paper.
So let's
yeah.
just, we'll take Flynn Flon out of it.
Okay.
Okay. Who do you think was a winner at the trade deadline? And who's a team you're intrigued at the trade deadline?
Yes.
Because I don't think there's losers. I think there is, though, teams that I am intrigued about just because of moves they made. But I don't know anything about the players coming in as of right now.
Yeah.
So who would be one of your winners and then a team you're intrigued by?
Yeah, I'm gonna say... I really, really like how the Battleford situation played out for them. Getting Elijah Anderson, I think, is going to give them a nice punch, a scoring punch. And I'm really excited to see Trayson Wootany in that lineup as well. Mm-hmm. So I really want to see how that kind of plays out. And like you said, they've had to make a couple of changes in their goaltending department throughout the year, but that's kind of starting to stabilize as well now. So I'm really curious to see how the already hot Battleford's North Stars continue that or look different or what's going to happen with them. So I
sure.
think they did really well in these last little stretch of time. One team I'm intrigued by.
Yeah. Hey, actually, wait, can I throw my winner out?
Yeah,
first?
Let's do that. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll say we already talked about my winner or we kind of dived into my winner earlier on. My winner is the Nipawin Hawks.
Yeah.
I sometimes, you know, your moves can just be slow and steady.
They're my number two.
They really don't have like to be them. All at once, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, getting two players on deadline day that have Western Hockey League experience, playoff experience, I think that's a big benefit. And I think with Fouquet coming in and coming in on the back end, like that makes their blue line that much better. And again, I stand by. If they make the playoffs, that's a team I don't want to play, especially when you have a goalie like Cunningham in net. You have now plenty of experience on the blue line, and you have a deep forward group. We've talked about how I think many people think they've underperformed this year. If they hit their stride, though, here in the last 2 months of the season, again, I don't think that's a team in the top, one of those teams in the top four wants to play in the first round. So I'm going to say my winner for the trade deadline, and I guess the trades as a whole, I guess, this season would be Nipwin.
Yeah.
So who's your intrigue team, though?
The intrigue
this
team,
one I'm actually intrigued about.
And I kind of mentioned it, I think it was our last episode before Christmas, talking about the Yorkton Terriers and how that Emery Olesen is kind of putting his stamp on the team. And there was some shifting going on. There were some guys that were sent down from the WHL as well, who now I've realized, I think it's Dustin Rinas, and I think he was also in the last 24 hours, I think Prince Albert announced that they had signed him to a deal. So we'll see how that all plays out and shakes down. But I think that Yorkton has done a few things, maybe a little bit subtler than some other teams. But again, Emery Olesen's making his stamp on the team. And I'm really curious to see kind of how, again, intrigued is the right word, but I'm intrigued to see with how close that bottom, like we talked about all episodes so far, the bottom of the standings is in terms of the playoff race. They're only 4 points out right now, and I'm intrigued to see if they can kind of put together a little stretch of wins and figure something out, especially with Ethan Farrow coming off goalie of the week and stuff like that. I'm really curious to see what they can do in the second half.
I like how you picked a team that didn't make a trade yesterday.
Yeah. They've done some things, though, and it was more of the, not so much the trades, but we talked about some of the other things that they've done. Signing Ashton Shields was another one that they did, a young player. So I'm just, a couple things I'm intrigued by.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm deciding between two. I'm deciding between two.
Also, Tommy Chunchikov. Just wanted to say that name on the show. Tommy Chunchikov for Yorkton. Really, really want to see him. From Tennessee. Love to see it. You'll love to see it.
I don't know. There's a couple of teams I'm intrigued about. But I think the one I'm going to go with is Melville. Because they added up, you know, they moved some players out.
They shuffled the deck a bit, yeah.
They did shuffle the deck a bit. Yeah. That's a good analogy. And I'm just, because we don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see them play next and see these new players, what they're about. I'm going to guess, you know, with the amount of players that they added, you know, it's going to provide some depth for sure. They added some depth. But I'm just so intrigued to see all these new players kind of come in. You know, they replaced, we talked about how they moved Liam Cox-Smith out to Fort McMurray, but they added a 20-year-old. Yeah, in Braden Panzer. They added a couple of 19-year-old forwards. That's the one for me because I just think there's so much that we don't know with a lot of these players. And obviously, Doug Johnson, head coach and GM of the Melville Millionaires, is so well-connected. He has his connections, and obviously they've probably done their due diligence when it comes to the scouting of these players and knowing these players. And you have to, you know, Doug has a great track record. So I you know, wouldn't be surprised that a bunch of these players pay off for the Melville Millionaires when it comes to the second half and this push, obviously, for the playoffs. And there's a lot of excitement right now in Melville. But that's the one team for me that I'm just, after seeing deadline day yesterday.
Intrigue.
I think they're the definition of intrigue because there's a bunch of players coming in that we just don't know about. And
I can't wait to find out because there is,
exactly. The other team I was kind of battling with was in a similar aspect, was Weber.
Weber.
I mean, they added a few players that...
Bit of a shuffle there, too.
Bit of a shuffle there, too. And, of course, I mean, even Estevan added a few players, too. But, like, for me, it's Melville when it comes to the amount of players that they added. And we just, again,
if I can add to that too, you mentioned Weyburn. I will say Estevan is another one that was kind of the one I was battling with as well. And just adding Luke Rubinsky from the WHL as well. Already 12 penalty minutes in his first game.
So really, the teams we are intrigued about, the entire Viterra division.
They're all tied, pretty much.
I don't know what's going on down there.
Luke Rubinsky, though, Jules Delapool, they added him just before the deadline. Alexander Papasporopoulos. Pretty sure I got that. He has great numbers from Pickering with the Panthers over there in the OJ. So he had good numbers coming over. We'll see how he fits into this league and on that team. And Throughout the year, they already had made some moves as well with Ben Wright and Zach Burns and Carson Dick and Cade Kennedy. They've made those moves. Rane Hodge on the deadline, or essentially on the deadline. So, you know, that's another team I think that we had.
Yep.
In terms of intrigue, if we're talking intrigue, we had high expectations to start the year. They are currently battling for last playoff spots, and they have, 32, 33 games left. So how is that team now going to look with the infamous Jason Tatarnik second-half Bruins? How do we see that all come together as well?
Well, we'll find out.
Yes.
We'll find out. And it's funny, with all those trades from yesterday, again, shout out to our good friend Noogsy. He tweeted out yesterday saying, hey, at SJHL Commish, can we have another showcase to see all the teams with all their new players?
Yeah.
And I just responded, no.
No.
But what you can do is go and get your Flow Hockey subscription right now, where you can get to see all 12 SJHL teams for the remainder of the season and the push for the SJHL playoffs.
It's coming. So
that's our breakdown of the 2024 SJHL trade deadline. Again, I think we could sit here and talk about a lot of, you know, almost every trade and kind of break it down a little bit, but I don't think
that's for SJHL Insider 2.
I just don't think anybody wants to see us babbling for that long, to be honest.
We did a good job. I think we covered a good chunk.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
But let's get into, before we wrap things up, of course, the hockey returns tomorrow night. Four games on the schedule in the SJHL tomorrow night. This weekend, a bit lighter than last weekend when it comes to the amount of games on the schedule. The L'Orange Ice Wolves continue their four-game and five-night trip. They take on the Weyburn Red Wings, the Flin Flon Bombers, and the Nipwin Hawks. Hey, deja vu. Last Friday, they played at the Whitney Forum. Guess what? Doing it again.
Happening.
First half of a great home-and-home between Melfort and Humboldt.
The Saskatchewan Derby. Battle of the Horses.
I had no idea where you were going with that. That's good. And then Kindersley and Notre Dame to close it out 7:30 on Friday.
I was
going
to say Kentucky Derby.
And then another four games on Saturday. Yorkton Weber, another big Viterra Division matchup. Extremely important. Last time they met just before Christmas. It was a very close game. Estevan and L'Orange meet again at Affinity Place on Saturday. The rematch, Melfort Humboldt, and then Battlefords and Notre Dame. And then worth mentioning, on Sunday, there is a game, Nipwin at Melville on Sunday, 6 o'clock puck drop in Melville. So nine games on the schedule this weekend in the SJHL. So a bit lighter. Not as heavy as a schedule as last weekend. Clark, what's your game of the weekend?
I'm going to go ahead and look to the Sunday matchup, actually. I know that the Saskatchewan Derby obviously drew me in at the beginning, the Broncos, Mustangs, home and home there. But Nipawin and Melville, again, any time there's as much playoff implication as there is potentially on that day as well, obviously, I don't think Melville doesn't play on the first
That's their
two
only
days.
Game this weekend.
It's their only game this weekend, but they need a win, especially with the other teams all in action around them. They need a win, and Nipwin wants to continue that. We talked about it several times today, that separation that small separation, they want to make it a bigger separation. And they have a couple games this weekend. Obviously,
I'm just surprised you didn't take the first Nipwin game in that case.
Well, that's another big one. But I'm just thinking in terms of direct playoff implications, they're like neck and neck right now, those two teams.
There's a bunch.
There is.
I think there's a bunch.
And that's the one I'm going to say just with to kind of cap off the weekend. It's a nice weekend cap, so to speak. That's the
I
one.
I'd say a nightcap.
Nightcap. Yeah, exactly.
And with the way the weather's been, it's a nice cap. Good one, Jer. Okay, so that's yours. I thought about doing what the kids say, run it back, because last week I said Nipwin and Flin Flon. I thought about doing that again.
Could happen.
But I'm not going to.
It is a good one.
I'm not going to. I will take I'll take the easy answer. Melfort Humboldt.
Which one, though?
That doesn't matter. doesn't matter.
Friday, because it sets the tone for Saturday.
Sure.
There you go.
Take that one. I mean, these two teams right now, obviously we've talked about two, three, and four right now in the SJHL standings, battling it out kind of for positioning. And, man, if one of those teams could win both games, get some separation. But Humboldt's 2 points back of Melfort and Battleford going into this weekend. Here's the good news if you are a Broncos fan. You have three games in hand on Melfort, one game in hand on Battleford. After this weekend, you all have played the same amount of games as Battleford.
As Battleford, yeah.
Because Battleford only has the one game this weekend. But you will still have three games in hand on Melfort, because obviously Melfort's playing the two games against you. So if you can get, if you can, obviously you want the split, but if you could find a way to get 3 out of 4 points this weekend, and even if you gain a point on Melfort and still have three games in hand, you know, obviously that's huge for Humboldt. And on the flip side for Melfort, you know, out of the three teams there, you have played the most amount of games. How do you get separation when you don't have that edge in games in hand? You got to win those head-to-head games.
Yeah, the head-to-heads.
You got to win those head-to-heads. So this is, it's just a huge weekend, I think, for both of those teams when it comes to that battle for 2, 3, and 4. I would give this a slighter edge to it being more important for Melfort because they've just played three more games than Humboldt. Mm-hmm. But say this, if you're in the area, do you need any more plans? Like,
literally nothing better to do than that.
No, that's a heavyweight tilt. And fun fact, Clark.
Yes.
Trivia question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is our next SJHL game of the month on SaskTel?
Oh, well, I know that graphic is in the system. So we could pull it up and I could cheat the system by looking at
he
it. There
know.
It is.
So he just proved he actually didn't know.
I forgot
which
one
is kind of sad because I teed it up. Our next SJHL game of the month on SaskTel
is
Humboldt and Melfort.
It's true. The Saskatchewan Derby.
We might have to dub it that. The Saskatchewan Derby.
That's our
next SJHL game of the month. Obviously, that'll be a great contest on February 9th.
That'll be fantastic.
The next two are going to be barn burners.
Yeah.
Especially if Yorkton and Melville are fighting for a playoff spot at the end.
That could be March 15th.
That's my game of the weekend is Melfort, Humboldt, mm-hmm. pick your poison. Going to be two great games between two of the top four teams in the SJHL. But a lot of good games this weekend. 9 games on tap. So if you can, brave the weather and the roads. First and foremost, drive safe. Check the highway hotline before you travel. Even if you're not going out to watch SJHL games this weekend, check the highway hotline if you're hitting the highway. We want everyone being safe during the winter months here in Saskatchewan. But, of course, if you can't make it to any of the games but you want to tune in, get your Flow Hockey subscription now. The playoff push is on. Obviously, there's so many great races when it comes to the SJHL standing. So get your Flow Hockey subscription now. If not, of course, you can follow along on SJHL.ca and all the great SJHL social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, follow us on X, which is formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. Follow all the social media, because that's how you'll stay up to date with everything in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Just passed, I think, 1,140 subscribers. Subscribing's free, so just click that red button. It'll keep you up to date with everything in the SJHL. And, of course, before we go, we got to give a big thanks to all of our great sponsors. UPL, our presenting sponsor. Thanks so much, UPL. You're awesome. Our presenting sponsor for all of our great shows in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Chevrolet, Great Western Nutrient, RBC. Quickly worth mentioning, a couple of RBC game nights this weekend. Friday night in Kindersley and Saturday night in Battleford's. RBC Community Ambassadors, Kindersley, Kyler Smith. Kyler Smith?
Yep.
Was it Kyler Smith?
Yeah.
I was trying to remember who
it
was.
You nailed it, yeah.
Kyler Smith of the Kindersley Clippers and, of course, Bradley Blake of the Battleford's North Stars on Saturday. Both players will be recognized. And as well, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lottery, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGU, SGI. Thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows are not possible. Clark, your final thoughts.
It was a wild 72 hours. I'm happy now that the deadline is behind us and we can focus on the rosters as they are and really get to know, like you said, some of these new players that are coming into the league, and I'm excited to see a lot of them.
And speaking of rosters...
Oh,
Clark, this is what we call in the business a tease.
Oh, I know where this is going. I know what it's about.
See, last time you said I know where this is going, you didn't.
I know what this one's about.
Anyways, speaking of rosters, Monday, SJHL Weekly, we will be revealing the actual rosters for the SJHL, for the SJHL MJHL showcase. These aren't just Rory and Nuke's rosters. These are the actual rosters. So tune in
for the first time anybody will see it. We'll be on SJHL Weekly.
Well, I will have seen it.
You'll have seen it.
I've seen it because guess what?
In the public, though.
I got to create the graphic. Yes, I will have seen it, but yes, it will be public.
Revealed to the public.
It will be revealed to the public, SJHL Ooh. Weekly, on Monday. So tune
Must
in to
see.
That. But before then, 9 games on tap in the SJHL. Be sure to get out to your local rink. Support your local team. If you are going to go out to your local rink, drive safe because the roads are bad, thanks to Clark. And if not, though, of course, tune in on Flow Hockey. 9 games this weekend, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in for Clark Monroe. My name is Jeremy Corrigan. This has been another great episode of SJHL Insider across the SJHL YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Subscribe today and enjoy the games this weekend, everyone.
This episode of SJHL Insider is presented by our friends at SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, if you do go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.